على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله. Of the various types of rozas which we should keep in order to make our roza a perfect roza, and then be eligible to acquire the pay on roza, which is really taqwa, that a person acquires taqwa. For all ibadat, everything, a person will get his reward, but the main object, which the Quran explains what the purpose of Ramzan and roza is, to acquire taqwa. So of that, one roza is to keep rozas of the thoughts. And in that, we left off yesterday, that we gave the example of a ball when it is thrown up, how much force and its weight, etc. It goes to a certain height, and from there then it does not remain there. It starts coming down immediately. From there, we deduce that people are of three types. One is a person who is a naqid, who criticizes. His share is only to criticize, to find fault. This person is in dangerous waters all the time, is in big trouble, who is always criticizing. The other person is a talib. That is like the ball when it is going up, it is going higher and higher and higher. And the minute a person stops anywhere, he feels, I'm all right now. That is why we should never feel that now I'm dindar, I'm all right. The minute a person feels like that, without him realizing it, he now becomes a qani', he is content. And like the ball, when it reaches its height, and it feels, well, now I've reached my height, let me stay here, it does not stay there. It drops down immediately. So the minute a person feels, I'm all right, I am dindar, then he's not there, he starts coming down immediately. And such a person, Buzurg says, ye salih, ye muslih kya hoga, how will he even make other people islah? Muslih, who makes other people's islah. And he feels that I've reached my stage and I can make other people's islah. Even if a person has got khilafat, and he feels now, my shaykh also has trusted me, I must make other people's islah. And he feels now, I've reached the height. That person, ye muslih kya rahega, ye salih bhi nahi rahega. He won't even remain a nek person. Forget making others nek, he himself also won't remain nek. So therefore, that is also a dangerous, a qani' is also a dangerous situation, because he starts dropping down all the time. The only person who goes up all the time is a talib. And when, as long as a person feels my islah is not done, alhamdulillah, Allah has brought a lot of changes, but my islah is still not done, this person will keep on moving up. So that is the only person that will keep on moving up, who feels my islah is not yet done, I am not naked, I am not biased still, I haven't reached my destination. And this must be hatta ya'tiyaka al-yaqeen, until yaqeen maut comes to us. Some ignorant people here have taken yaqeen as its literal translation, and they say as soon as we have got iman, now finish, everything is over. Yeah, yaqeen means maut, when maut comes on a person. So a person must remain a talib his whole life. A naqid, that person is completely destroyed, who is all the time finding fault, his work is only. A poet says, it was my hobby, looking for the faults of other people, until my eyes felt on my own faults. Then I had no time to look at the faults of other people. And one of the great barakat of reading Subhanallah, in whichever form it comes, that it is that we are saying Allah Ta'ala is pure. Allah is pure, whether we say it or not. But in its barakat, jaza'un wifaqa, Allah gives you a like recompense. Allah will purify you of faults. And the procedure of this will be that your eyes will now open to your own faults. Another poet, Nazir Jaj Akbar Allahabadi, he says that it was also, I always looked at the faults of other people until my eyes fell on my own heart and I found it to be a heap of faults. I found so many faults in myself when my eyes fell on me. We are always looking at other people. And yet, look at the beautiful hadith of Hazrat Nabiya Kareem, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, al-mu'min mir'atul mu'min. A mu'min is the mirror of a mu'min. So when you look in a mirror, you're not seeing somebody else, you are seeing yourself. So if that is the condition of a mu'min, when we see any other person, and even if we see a fault in that person, a wise person is immediately who looks at himself, isn't there a fault in me? If we are talking with somebody and that person starts playing with his nose, so maybe he thinks there is some dirt, but what we should think, he's telling me there's some dirt in my nose. When we see him doing that, we should be concerned, isn't there something in my nose? He's giving me a message. If he starts with his beard and he's doing this, that is telling me in your beard there is something stuck there. So that is how a mu'min, when we see anyone else, in fact when we see and the faults of anyone, the first thing must be, are those faults not in me? And when a person looks at a mirror, he is looking at the mirror, but in the mirror he's seeing himself. So there are two aspects. Whatever faults you see in another mu'min, then immediately look into yourself. Are these faults not in me? And whatever good qualities we see, now we are seeing him. Then also see that I must cultivate these good qualities. He is a person who makes so much qurbani. He is a person who makes so much khidmat. He is a person who is so humble. He is a person who is so sincere. I must cultivate these qualities in me. So anyway, Allah make us talib. And a person who is a qani', well, never, the two can't be the same. A person who has reached the weaning post and a person who is still running, the two can never be the same. The person who is running, if he keeps on running, he will also reach there. But if he feels that I'm already at the weaning post before his time, if he thinks the post are brought forward and he stops, he's going to lose out completely. So our weaning post is the time of maut. And we have to keep on trying until maut. So therefore, never ever feel that my islah is made. The person who feels that his islah is made, that person will be destroyed completely. So we have to carry on all the time. From that point also we can understand that to think that I make is completely wrong. And the other example which we wanted to give yesterday is also this arrogance and pride, which is a total killer and a destroyer. And only a stupid person is an arrogant person. Because on what is he arrogant? So the story is written of a wealthy person who had quite a few businesses also. And like it comes in every person's married life, and if it doesn't come, bring it in your married life. That occasionally have an occasion where you have a special night with your wife. You don't have to go out for it. In your house, tell her to prepare something special. She dresses up, you dress up, have a special night. Send the children away to reliable people or let them sleep early. And just you and your wife, now occasionally have a special night also. So one night like this when this person was having, so his wife was all dressed and he was now set for this. So just then when they were going to eat, and she had prepared the best of foods, so a beggar knocked on the door. And Allah ke naam pe kuch de do, Allah barakat dega, kuch de do Allah ke naam pe, he begged. So he got very angry that just when we want to sit and have our special time, now these beggars have got no time. And in there also this is also a person with very short understanding. Many times when you just sit down with your work, now somebody comes and now he disturbs you. Now how does he know you sitting down to your work and you getting cross on him? Many times on the wife also, and on that we get cross on them. For example, when you want to phone home, that's the time the phone is engaged all the time. And now you just can't get through and you get angry. Now how do they know you want to phone now, that you are going to phone now? And you forget also that when you want to phone somebody and you don't get through, how frustrated you get. That when people want to get through to you and they can't get through, they also are getting frustrated. So we should be considerate in these matters also. So anyway, he got up very angrily and he went to the door, and the poor person was begging. He gave him one slap and chased him away, swore him all vulgar language that you beggars got no work, you don't see what time, any time you just come along. And in there also, there's collectors who come. And people get very angry on the collectors. And perhaps you can understand it also, especially now in Ramzan, they're just coming continuously. But we have no right to become angry also. For one, we should think, if I was in that collector's position, yeah, in the madrasa also, I tell our staff that if Allah Ta'ala's lot of fizzle, that we don't have to go out for collection, Allah has made it very easy for us. But what if South Africa was a poor country and we had to go to India for collection? It could be, and it can happen also. Tables can change at any time. And this story, what I'm saying, is a story of tables changing also. And we can go there. And if we ill-treat the people now, how would we feel if people ill-treat us? And we don't know who is genuine. If you are 100% sure this person is not a genuine person, then also, in a suitable way, not insulting him. Whatever, if he has to be punished, that also, even punishment must be done, not in a derogatory way, in a suitable way. So, but if we are not sure, and that person might be so sincere, and he might be running a madrasa, and usually in India, Pakistan, the students who are studying are poor students, and here this person is coming to see to their needs, to see to their education, and we insult him, we humiliate him. We must be very, very careful for Allah Ta'ala's stick and Allah's punishment. If Allah have to become angry with us, that these people are doing my deen's work, they are doing for the poor students, and this is how you treat them, what will be our condition? So we don't know what a person is. If we don't want to give, also no problem. But in a suitable, respectful way, make an excuse. And if you want to give, even if you give a little bit, give it. Even if he says that what is there so little, tolerate it. You make your heart big. You don't take offense with that. And usually those who say like that, that you are giving too little, you got such a big shop, you got so much money and you're giving me so little, those in most cases, they are not the genuine one. A genuine person will accept happily whatever you have given him. So anyway, so he slapped at a beggar and chased him away. He came back, he had his meals, but Allah's stick, which doesn't come in a stick form, Allah gave him his punishment. Now slowly his businesses started going down. One, two, all his businesses. Slowly he came to such a condition that he was not able to even maintain his wife. And then he told her, now I have to give you your divorce. It's my duty to maintain you. I can't maintain you. So now I give you your freedom. You can go because I can't even maintain you. And these are things, there is just a story. But in actual reality, once when we were in KwaZulu-Natal, we came out of a very big business. We came past, out of the shop, and when we came out, the person who was with me, he asked me, you know this man who's standing here at the security? I said, how will I know him? I don't know him. He says, it's not long ago that he was the owner of the shop. And not only owner of this one shop, he had quite a few shops like this. But whatever conditions came, that he had to sell out everything, and then also he could not pay all his debts. And then just as a gesture of kindness, they gave him a job there. And the same shop that he was holding the keys to it, he was holding the keys to the safe, he was the owner of that shop. Now he came to a condition that he was just in the security, just parcels people going out, checking their parcels and that, and letting them go out. So these were a lot of things we have seen with our eyes in this short life, how tables change. Tilkal ayyam nudawiluha bayna an-nas. Those are the days Allah says we turn them around amongst people. that who is where and who is where. Fir'aun, how he ruled of Egypt, and what an iron fist. It is narrated for 400 years, he did not even get a headache, how he was ruling. But when the tables changed, that same river Nile, which he says, that don't you see that I am the Lord, I am the Allah of this river. This river flows by my command. That same river killed him and drowned him. So how it changed. And not far away, we all hear in South Africa, how the white man, the Afrikaner, ruled South Africa with what an iron fist. And it's not long ago, if you think of the 70s and 60s, 70s, how they ruled. But what happened? How it got turned around? That even there's a fear that now one of the presidents will be charged also with so much of blood on his hands, so much of murder. The person who at one time did not have to worry for anyone of anything, how the tables have changed. So these things are right in front of our eyes. It is the height of stupidity of a person who feels nothing can happen to me. And that what I am doing, I can rule like a Fir'aun, and like a Hitler I can rule, and I can do what I want to. Tables change. So anyway, all his businesses got finished. He had to give up his wife also. That wife got married again one day with somebody. Again, that husband also had a special night. He said, let us have some special meals, you dress up, etc. Again, they sat down. Just as they sat for the meals, again there was a knock on the door. Again, a beggar. Allah ke naam pe kuch de do. Allah barakat dega. Allah hi deta hai. How do usually the beggars go around? So this husband was about to sit down. He told his wife, take this whole tray of food and go and give it to that beggar. She went to the door, opened it, and then she gave one scream. All that food she threw down, it fell down from her hands. She gave one scream and she fell down unconscious. He came running, what happened? When he came and checked, he asked her. She came around, he asked her. She said, no, it doesn't matter. She said, no, what was it? How come? Such an event, what you mean it doesn't matter? Then afterwards she explained to him that, I'm married to you. I was married to another man before. As we are having a special night, we had a special night then also. A beggar came and he went to the door and he slept that beggar, and his tables changed from that day. Everything went against him. And today I see the same thing. And to that man that came, she says, it was my ex-husband. That same man who was so wealthy and who was so haughty and so proud and arrogant, and he treated people whom Allah Ta'ala knows for Allah's reasons. Why Allah has made some people poor. Why Allah has made some people retarded. Why Allah has made some people mentally weak. Not for us to take advantage of them in any way. Not for us to think we are superior and better. We didn't make ourselves, we didn't make them. Allah made all. Why Allah made some people white and why Allah made some people black? All that Allah Ta'ala knows. And Allah knows why He made some people Muslims and why He made some people Christians and Jews and idol worshippers. Sheikh Abu Abdullah Andalusi, when he just thought, I'm better than these idol worshippers. And who are these people? And he thought he's better. How did Allah even punish him? Even on him thinking. Once I asked Hadrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh that we are told that we must not think ourselves better than anyone else. So thinking ourselves better than the kafirs, we got iman. They got kufr. Aren't we better than them? We got iman. Allahu Akbar. This is the benefit. Yad zamana bi sohbati awliya behtar sat sala ta'at beriya. A little while in the company of the awliya is better than 100 years, 100,000 years of ikhlas ibadat. Mufti Sahib then explained, Jazahumullah khair wa rahmatullah alayhi. He explained that you might think iman is definitely better. We don't think that kufr is equal to or better than iman. Na'uzu billah, that is totally wrong. But what guarantee have you got you're going to die on iman? That you think because you got iman, you are better than that person who is in kufr, who is in shirk, who is in guna. How do you know to now he makes tawbah and he becomes a perfect Muslim? And you, your iman, you can even lose your iman and you can die on kufr. So looking at the end of a person's life, Therefore, we can't even think ourselves. We can't think ourselves better than a kafir, also a non-Muslim. Your iman is better than kufr. But that iman is immune. Have you got a guarantee? Somebody gave you a guarantee this iman is going to stay by you. So how can you think yourself even better, which Allama Sayyid Sulaiman Nadwi rahmatullah alayhi said, and which our Shaykh has put into our ma'amulats. And each one of us in our wazifas, in our ma'amulats, daily we should say this to ourselves. Abdul Hamid, take your own name. Hal mein tu tamam kafiron se, to tamam musalmanon se battar hai. Presently, amongst all the Muslims, you are the worst. Because how, in which aspect, you don't know, you might be doing everything right, yes. But there may be something in you which Allah dislikes. And like we know, it is with us also. Even a customer comes in the shop, or anyone else also, somebody comes at a function, you meet him, but you just seem to dislike something of that person. You just don't agree with that person. There's something that you just don't. So maybe there's something in you, though everything else of yours is 99% right. One thing Allah dislikes, because of that you Allah doesn't like you. You don't know, it may be. And that person who is a non-Muslim, who is a Muslim and is very sinful, you don't know, there might be one thing in him which Allah loves a lot. Right? Which Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has written, that one person passed away in a village. He was so bad, there was no goodness, didn't come anywhere near him. Every fault, badness was on him. When he passed away, nobody came to his janazah also. So how bad he must have been, that no neighbors, no friends, no people of the town, nobody came for his janazah. 3 days passed, his body started now going, starting to blow up. So his wife called four laborers and told them, take his body now. And laborers are not learned people, they don't know anything. As you people give one to, you give ghusl to him. And you put on kafan as you know, take him to the qabristan. If you get somebody to make janazah namaz, well and good. If you don't, then just bury him even without janazah namaz. So what must be his condition? That his end came like this. Anyway, they gave him ghusl, kafan, they took him to the qabristan. When they took him to the qabristan, Allah put in the great Shaykh of that areas in his heart, Allah put that my wali's janazah is in the qabristan, and go and make his janazah namaz. So when he got up, he was the famous big Shaykh of the place. Thousands of people went with him. They went to the qabristan. They saw this person. They got a shock, but this was Allah's command. They made his janazah namaz, buried him. They went straight to his house. They asked his wife, Bain, sister, that we know him to be a person like this. That whichever sin you can think of is in him, living in a dirty, filthy lifestyle. And on the other side, this is what the command came. So she says, as you people know him, I also know him to be the same person. However, he was such a person, he used to come home late at night, 1, 2 o'clock, according to what our time, and drunk. But then early in the morning, he should take a cold shower. He should become sober. He should make tawbah, cry to Allah. Ya Allah, which corner of Jahannam have you kept for me? Ya Allah, I am your worst creation. This is naz, niyaz, humbleness, crying to Allah Ta'ala with all his gunas. So that one habit he had. The other is, he always kept an orphan child in the house. And before he ate, he gave food, he made sure the orphan eats. Before he gets clothes for him, he makes sure the orphan is clothed. So on that, he was the wali of Allah. And Allah Ta'ala, لا تعلم ما أخفي لهم من قرة أعين. Every wali of Allah, Allah hides him. Allah, people won't know that wali of Allah Ta'ala. That the enjoyment he gets, that قرة عين, that means in great, great enjoyment, but Allah hides it away. Nobody else knows. And it was perhaps in this year or last year, very close, when in Azadwal one person who was also a total right of in every way, but then how his mort came, etc. So we got no right to judge anyone, we got no right to judge ourselves. We are such judges that in our own self we make also very biased judgments that we are very good. And with regard to other people we make also very biased judgments that they are very bad. And forget people like this who we see today, the husband with the wife. What were judgments and how? As if she is the worst person in the world. And there are no buzurgs like us. And there are no pious people like us. These things all the time, whether it's our workers also. Right? Yeah, in the madrasa long ago, there was one person, Malawian, working. And when he applied for his job, his passport, Christian name, because in Malawi they won't get a passport without a Christian name. And his name was John something. But he's a worker. But he was tahajjud guzar. Monday, Thursday, roza he kept. And a person is honorable by Allah, not whether he's the principal of the madrasa or he's a cleaner, but by your taqwa, by your piety. And this ibadat, his tahajjud, nobody knows. His rozas, nobody knows, so we don't know who is where. So, just say to yourself, take your name, don't take my name. I'll take my name, you take your own name. Then you say, Abdul Hamid, hal mein, tamam musalmanon mein, tu sabse battar aur kamtar hai. Or, Abdul Hamid, maal mein, tu about the end, sab kafiron aur janwaron mein, tu sabse battar aur kamtar hai. Considering all kafirs, non-believers, and animals, you are the worst. How is that? That we don't know. Nobody gave us a guarantee that our maut is going to come on Iman. And that person, nobody gave him a guarantee his maut is going to come on kufr, on shirk. He can change. So Hazrat Maulana, Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah Ali, in his dream in Dioban, saw one Hindu of Dioban in Jannat, enjoying walking around in Jannat. So in his dream, he told him, Lalaji, Hindu, Lala ji, ye to tumhare liye mamnu aur dukhul, is no entry for you in Jannat. How come you in Jannat and you walking around in Jannat? So he says, Maulvi ji, that's how they used to speak, Maulvi ji, an kanat maine kehli, what was taboo for me to say, what I was impossible, la ilaha illallah, that was taboo for us, we must never say that word, but I said it just before I died. And then he went straight into Jannat. So how do we know that person's maut has come on Iman or Kufr? And what guarantee have we got about ourselves? So we should never have this pride. So anyway, that lady said, it was my ex-husband. So then he told her, you know, who am I? She asked, who are you? She says, I was that beggar who came and begged you. And that husband of yours slept me. And he chased me away. Today he has made me your husband. And all his shops, Allah gave them to me, and he took everything away. So pride and arrogance, this is such a disease. And how stupid disease it is. That of what are we proud about? Buzurus give this ilaj, that if any pride sometimes comes to you, shaitan will bring, that you are very good, there is nobody like you, you are very pious, you are very wealthy, you do this, you do that, shaitan will bring. One treatment for that is, think of your start. هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينُ مِنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. Think of that time when you were absolutely nothing. If you are 43 years old today, 44 years ago, there was no mention about you, not even your parents. When the wife conceived, and then the father and mother, husband and wife started talking, I think I've conceived, we're going to have a child, we don't know if it will be a boy, a girl, whatever. Now they at least started talking about you. Before that, there was no even talk about you. Nobody even spoke about you. And when you were born, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ طِينَ. We created insan from this mud, which was sand mixed with water, which we also don't like to touch. If we would touch it, wash our hands, perhaps we'll go and put cream also after that. From that you were made, that's your start. Mimmahim maheen. Maheen, you were born, you were created from disgraceful water. That is that semen. The semen today, when it comes out, it touches your body something, oh, napa, dirty, bring a cloth quickly, go and wash myself, I take a bath, I'm very dirty, I'm filthy, till I don't take, that is what your start was. And your end will be, you'll mix with sand, the ants are going to eat you. Like we read last night, that the insects all will be on your body, they will be on your tongue, etc. And imagine, just think of the time when you'll be, your skull will be right lying one side, your hands one side, your ribs one side, your legs one. What is your condition? Who are you? What are you? and you are just this form which Allah has made of you in between the two. Now, and this is a temporary form. Not even 60, 70 years, which is the average life of a Muslim. But if you go and see for yourself, I take notice of this when somebody brought it to my notice. Go to any Qabristan, and if dates are written, you'll see the vast majority of people are under 50. If you are living and you're over 50, make shukr to Allah. And if you have got good health, make even more shukr. And if you've got something to eat, how many people in the world haven't got anything to eat? And if you can be putting something away and we're depositing and you've got a bank account, how much mustn't you make shukr of Allah? Today we think it's our birthright to have all these things. But the vast majority of the people in the world haven't even got these things. So if Allah has given, how much shukr? Like one woman in the Bani Israel, when she heard that about the ummah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she said, if I was born in that time, in Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's ummah, and 60, 70 years, that whole period, I'll put my head down in sajda. I'll only make sajda, nothing else. How much shukr? But yet, all the time fighting, all the time unhappy, grumbling, quarreling all the time. And life hasn't been made for fighting and grumbling and quarreling all the time. Life has been made to enjoy. Enjoy this life which Allah... One Jannat is here if we live our life how Allah wants to. You living in Jannat. And if you're not living in Jannat, if you're in Jahannam, then also think that whose agent are you? Are you Jahannam's agent that you're in all the time parishan, all the time worry, all the time quarreling, fighting, whatever you see. And the worst in your house, the house... The two things, Allahu Akbar. Just now Allah put it in my mind. One is the wife, Allah says, لِيَسْكُنَ إِلَيْهَا, so that you find peace in her. And Allah says, Allah has made your house for you, also for peace. And in your house, which Allah has made a markaz of peace, there you don't find peace. There you are quarreling, fighting, grumbling all the time. Then where are you going to find, where is such a person going to find peace? Kehte hai, ghabra ke kehte ke ab mar jayenge. A person with all these problems and worries, he says, I rather die. Mar ke bhi chain na paya, to phir kidhar jayenge. If this is your life and after mort also you're not going to get chain, then where are you going to get peace? If you're not going to get afterwards also, then where are you going to find peace? So this arrogance and this pride, it is a killer disease of a person. So we should read this wazifa also for this. And think also, this even whatever Allah has made you, namazi mashallah, you concentrate in your namaz also. It isn't your own doing. Ima asabaka min hasanatin famin Allah. It is only by the blessing of Allah Ta'ala. Allah made you an alim. Who made you an alim? Not you. Who put it in your heart to become an alim? Wherever you studied, you're in South Africa, you went to India, who made that madrasa for you? All that facilities, you got all the ulama of hadith, of tafsir, of nahwa, of sarf, of adab, they all came and served you. You just went and sat. Who made all this infrastructure of all this thing? Who made the arrangement for the fans and the lights and the building in that madrasa? For you to become an alim, all these things were necessary. You travel to your institution to study. Who made all the transport arrangements? And whatever, how lot of things. You buy a ticket, you buy a ticket, you buy an e-ticket, whatever it is. How many computers, how many people are working? How many people are at the check-in desk? How many people, that person who's carrying your baggage, if he doesn't carry your baggage, what's going to happen to you? Everyone who has done all this, not those people, Allah has done it, Allah alone. So you becoming an alim, you becoming a hafiz is not your achievement at all. And also, after you have become an alim, you have become a hafiz, Allah can cause one stroke. And now, you see, many people with stroke, they want to speak, they become frustrated, they can't speak. You might want to read Quran, you can't read Quran anymore. And many strokes, depending on which side it falls, your memory goes also. So all what you had learned, it will go away again. Anything can happen. Somebody will shoot a bullet in your head, and there you become one person. We are going from our village, Kafleta, to Surat, and we pass it a little town, Sachin. There was a person who was sitting on the side in a very poor, terrible condition. My cousin who was with me, he says me, he told me, this person for how many years I'm seeing here. The people say he was an alim. And for some reason, whatever happened, this has become his condition today. He's hardly dressed properly, no food also, he's gone mad also. It can happen to any person. And sometimes some of our gunas, and one particular guna which the ulama get involved in, to speak bad of other ulama. They may be your contemporary, they may be your person who you just seem to have some dislike, and you start speaking bad, and speaking bad about the, even for the public. But this is more, usually the public, they have got a great quality, generally they have great respect for the ulama. Even they see their faults, they keep quiet, they say it's not our business, let them, what, that's their business. But if the public speaks bad about the ulama, how bad? But sometimes some ulama, and about buzurgs when we speak bad, Allah declares war against such a person. So that is a very dangerous thing. So what are we proud about? Our condition can change. How many people, they stroke, and now they just lying in bed. How conditions of a person can change? So a person has got no right to be proud about, and it is the height of a person who can't think a little bit, that person will be proud that I'm somebody, that I got this, I did this, I own so much, and I do this, that person. And with pride, you can only expect fights everywhere. Wherever there is pride, there are fights. Because, and if both parties are proud, the boss and the worker, the husband and the wife, the father and the son, and nobody wants to humble himself, there is only fire on fire there. If one of the two also humbles himself, at least things will come right. And if both humble themselves, what to say? Humbleness is such a great quality. And pride, who is the father of pride? Shaitan. And what is he made of? Fire. And what did he say? Why am I better? Because fire goes up. Because the person thinks that I'm up, I'm high. And that is fire. And if you got that fire, and fire just goes up, with fire, you'll never put off any, you'll never put off another fire. If there's a fire in your house, you and your wife are fighting, there's a fire. And you got pride, you also fire. And if she also got pride in her, how will that fire ever go off? And sand is a thing that comes down. And you put off a fire. Some fires, don't put them off with water. They'll even become worse. Sand. So if you are of sand, you are down, you'll put off that fire. Even if there's a fire burning in your house, your wife is also fire. But if you are sand, you'll put off that fire. And you'll live peacefully. So therefore, Allah has made us. And if Ibn Adam, he who is made of sand, Shaitan in any case was made of fire. So perhaps in somehow he wasn't justified, but for a moment we say he was justified to have pride because he was made. And Adam's son who was made, is made of sand, and he thinks that he's made of fire. He's not even made of fire, and he's got this pride. How stupid of him. What great ignorance in this person. So that is also a terrible thing. This pride which comes of a person. So hum aise, and another wazifa that we must include every day in our maamulat, hum aise rahe ya ke waise rahe, wahan dekhna hai ke kaise rahe. How we stayed in this dunya, that doesn't count. What will be the result on the day of Qiyamah? And who knows what his result is going to be? Our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says, that student who wrote an exam, and before the results are out, he's partying already. And he's going around boasting that, already buying the next year's textbooks, everything. And the results are not yet out. You don't know what the results are. So similarly, nobody knows what his results are going to be on the day of Qiyamah. And there will be many people who outwardly, they will be so bad, but Allah will just make them maaf go. And if Allah wants to, Hazrat Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, he says that on Qiyamah Day, if the announcement is made that all the people must go to Jannat, only one person is going to Jahannam. He says, I'll have that fear, it's me. And if this announcement is made, all are going to Jahannam, only one person is going to Jannat. In Allah's hope, I've got this, that I will be that one person. So what guarantee has any person got of himself? And we see the lives of great, great buzur, Fuzail ibn Iyaz, Fariduddin Attar, Rahmatullah, how many others? What terrible lives, and how pious Allah made them. Allah made them great awliya. And other people, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was going on a journey towards Syria, Sham, and he came across one rabbi, priest, monks. When we were small studying in Mias Farm, we went for holidays to Wombats. There was a church there, so we went and see, and there was one priest also, and he was making muraqabah from what time? And when we went there, we stood a little while, we inquisitive, we went and see. He was coming out, you could see the effect of his muraqabah. He had a nice big white beard also, and he was making muraqabah all the time. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu saw a priest like that. So then he read the ayats of the Quran Sharif, Amilatun nasiba. They're making so much amal, sweat coming from the forehead. Amilatun nasiba. Tasla, nar and hamya, but they'll be thrown headlong into the fire of Jahannam. How many of us, we don't know, especially those people are even more in danger, who are just sitting in their corners and making their own ibadah. They might be having one wrong aqidah, one wrong belief. Till we don't meet with ulama, read reliable kitab, listen to the talk, something, and Allah's system is Allahu Akbar. It's not what the speaker knows and what he wants to say, where if with ikhlas. If the speaker has got ikhlas, the listeners have got ikhlas. What is needed for them, Allah will make the speaker to speak that. Our Shaykh also says, how many times we also noticed it, what you think you're going to say, and the whole subject goes. You even read the ayat and you hardly touch that ayat. You hardly touched your subject. It went some. Allah wanted to feed somebody who was there. This great Buzurg, inshallah, if I remember his name, I will mention. Allah makes it such that it's not always that you go and look for your Shaykh. Sometimes you are such, Allah sends the Shaykh to you. And that is why our Mashayikh make suffer also. It's not they making suffer. Allah is sending them. There's somebody thirsty somewhere, go and give him water to drink. So this great Buzurg, Najmuddin Kubra, he, Allah put in his heart. Aur kiske paas gaye? Acha. So he was a great Buzurg. Allah put in his heart that there is one person who is yearning for me. He wants his road towards me. You go there and show him. So he went to his father and he told him that, how many sons have you got? So he says, I've got the 6 sons. He said, bring them, I want to see them. So he brought them. He said, no, not these here. There's somebody else. He said, yeah, another one. I don't even take his name. He's an insult to me. He has caused me so much of humiliation. He just cries in the jungle all the time. He's a mad person. I don't even regard him as my son. He said, he's the one I'm looking for. When he went there in the jungle, he saw him, their eyes met. Immediately, he told that, make nazar on me. Make nazar, good nazar that is. Make nazar on me. Then he says, I made nazar. And then immediately, he had the urge, the love of Allah, but he didn't know who Allah is. And he took him and he led him towards Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, that person who was a shepherd sitting, and he's saying to Ya, and he didn't know who Allah ta'ala is. And what is he saying? Ya Allah, if I know where you are, your address, where you stay, I'll come there, I'll comb your hair, I'll put oil for you, I'll cut your nails for you. I just look after my few animals, goats. And I get so exhausted and tired. You look after the whole world. How busy you must be. So Musa alayhi salam got angry on him. Allah told him, oh Musa, this person has got a yearning for me. Teach him who am I. Lead him towards me. That is the work of the Mashayikh. Many people when they go to become bay'at, then they use these words, Mujhe mere Allah se mila do. Let me be joined with my Allah ta'ala. Mera Allah ka naam mujhe sikha do. Teach me my Allah's name. They know what is Allah's name. In other words, how to make zikr where you get enjoyment and you start enjoying taking the name of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So anyway, this pride which is in a person. So in this world, hum aise rahe ya ke waise rahe. How we stayed, yeah. It's not, you could have stayed like a very pious person. How your end comes, nobody knows. And how on Qiyamah's day when you'll be raised. Bahut se jo aise aise the, waise waise ho gaye. Many who were like this became like that, or jo waise waise the, aise aise ho gaye. And many who were like that became like this. So this changes, and we see in this world how it changes. And another from here, dua for istiqamat is also very, very important. Daily, at least one of the duas, that Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahma innaka antal wahhab. This dua we must read daily. Otherwise, read all these duas, otherwise one of them. Ya muqallib al qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. Ya musarrif al qulub, sarrif qalbi ala ta'atik. Nobody has got any guarantee of how his end will come. So, and from there, one other thing then, which is also that the roza, that when we have kept our rozas, whole month we made our ibadat, stay with this fear, we don't know whether it's going to be accepted or not. The whole thing is on acceptance finally. First, the thing has to be there. It's another thing also, as Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah Ali used to say, ikhlas comes very late in life. We think we got ikhlas. And this, the example that comes to my mind, that if you do mountain climbing, when you start climbing, you think this is the top. When you reach there, you say, oh no, there's another. When you reach there, you say, oh, it's another. So all the time a person thinks, I got ikhlas now. But when you reach there, you'll say, oh no, I haven't got. It's still higher up. When you reach there, it's even higher up. And by mort, hopefully, you will reach there. So, and Hadraji Maulana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say that many people, they worry of ikhlas from the start. But if there is an amal, in which, what is ikhlas going to come? If you are worried, you must have tea, but you're not worried of your cup. First worry, get a cup first. Then you'll be able to put your tea inside. So make your ibadat, make your amal. And afterwards, when your amal is there, then ikhlas will come. Many people don't want to start with amal. We say we are not sincere. First make the amal. You haven't made your cake and you want to put the icing on top. You want to make all that. First make your cake and then you'll be able to put the icing. So therefore, the amal make it, ikhlas will come. But we have to be concerned. We don't know. So no matter how much amal you make, till you don't know whether it is accepted. Our Shaykh Ahmed Barakatum says, when one of his safars here to South Africa, he heard that Hafiz Abdul Rahman Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, our Ustad, that he had made a lot of students Hafiz. So he was eager to meet him. He went and meet him. So he asked him, Hafiz Sahib, kitne bachche aapke haath se Hafiz hue? How many children? So spontaneously, Hafiz Sahib told, wo to qabar mein pata chalega. That I'll know what is maqbool, that so many I have made. And if they not accepted, I've made none. Then he Hazrat said, if I had 100,000 rands, I would have given this as in'am, as a gift for such an answer. That a person who has got this reality in him. That is what we have to develop. So if a person till he doesn't know, how can he be proud? If you're making so much of amal, and you're trying your best, and you're making the best amal, somebody else is watching TV all the time. He's on Mixit all the time. He's on all other things all the time. But you don't know whether yours is accepted and what of that person is accepted by Allah. We don't know who is rejected and who is accepted. So therefore, till we don't know, how can a person have pride? And also, whatever we have got is not ours. Allah gave it to us. And then again, we got no guarantee it's going to be permanently with us. You're even a great alim, you're a great lecturer, you're a great whatever it can be turned away. And you might think also, it has happened also, that I built a masjid. Well, masjid can't be destroyed now. This is forever. How many masjids have been turned into churches? Have been turned into stables? How many Darul Ulums in Afghanistan? They have become the barracks of the enemy of Islam, their armies. So even if you build something solid and you think, well, this nobody can now. This is what I've done. Allah can change it tomorrow. So what guarantee have you got? So therefore, a person has got no right to be proud of anything. And make dua to Allah Ta'ala. That Allah opens what is pride. Many of us think we are not proud. But we are drowned in pride. And we can't even come out of it and we think we are not proud. And because of this pride, everything it destroys. It is worse than rust. It is worse than poison. You cook a wonderful deg of biryani, but you put some poison in there. Everything is destroyed. You made your whole Ramzan so beautiful, your ibadat, everything. But one gram of this pride you put in there, and everything is destroyed. Because of that, there is fire in our houses. Because of that, there is fire in our institutions. People, just good people, at one another's throats because of our pride. We want our way to go. We are everything. So this is a terrible disease. This Ramzan, if we make it, make effort on this, and we can get rid of it, there is no greater gift that we can give ourselves. We are thinking what to give our children and grandchildren and the wives and the daughters-in-law for Eid, etc. But if we can give ourselves this gift and get rid of this pride, which is the worst, dirtiest, filthiest thing, if we can get rid of that, we'll find so much of peace. And we live with peace within ourselves also. And a person who has found peace and is living happily, no matter how many enemies, how they criticize him, what they talk, but he's living happily, that person has got the agency of Jannat. He's on his way to Jannat. And this we can get when we get rid of this pride. Pride is a terrible thing. Ujab is also haram. The kabbur is also haram. May Allah save us from it. Let us get rid of it. And a person has to be conscious. You can get rid of it today, it can come back tomorrow again. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one time drew a line and drew all side lines to it. And he says, there is insan going and these are all the attacks of him, on him. All the time he's being attacked by shaitan, by nafs. Temptations are all the time. And not only of other outward gunas. This majma generally, they're not going to cinema, they're not going to nightclubs. We don't have to speak of that. Yeah, now we're thinking we are good, we are pious. This treatment we need. And all the time shaitan is going to attack us. So therefore may Allah Ta'ala save me and save us all and make dua for one another. If we make dua for one another, then farishta say dua, walaka mithla dhalik. So that is one very effective way of having our du'as accepted. Make du'a for our sheikh. When sheikh makes du'a for his murids, we make du'a for one another. On that, shaitan says, farishta say, walaka mithla dhalik for you. And farishta's du'as are 100% maqbool, mustajab. The easy way to get the du'as of the farishtas. May Allah make it easy for us all.